Well, morning everyone here in the auditorium and up in the gallery, and it's good to be sharing God's word with you this morning. And if you're listening in on our podcast, then somewhere in Australia or somewhere around the world, then we pray that God will bless this few moments that we've set aside to hear what God may have to say to you and to me today. This week we're beginning a new series about growing up in our faith. And we all need to do that, and over the next few weeks we're going to break it down by some different seasons in our life. And we're doing this series now to go along with Alpha. Help us think about how the God we can know in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that God who loves us absolutely, is with us and growing us in all the seasons of our lives. My hope is that you can feel free to invite some of the folks who are joining us for Alpha, or maybe some of your families or friends or neighbours, to join us as we do this series together. So I'm adding in the dimension of the seasons of our lives to the idea of growing in our faith, because different seasons of life impact significantly on the relationship we have with God and the relationship that we have with other people. Those of you who are married will have probably figured out by now that you and your spouse are often in different seasons of life. Things don't always mesh. It seems like you're either growing together or growing apart in your relationship, because a relationship never stands still. And if we understand this seasons of life thing, we'll better sympathize with our mate when they're going through them. In fact, you can help them through some seasons that you've been through, or maybe they can help you. When God created, God set up seasons of weather. We know that. So Genesis says, as long as the earth remains, there will be springtime and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. We know that. So God has also established seasons of human activity, seasons of life. Some of them are relational, some of them are physical, some of them are spiritual, some of them are emotional seasons of life. And probably the most famous text in the Bible comes from a book that we don't read that often, called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Now, sadly, it is true that my hobby is not gardening. God hasn't wired me to watch plants grow. I buy them, I dig a hole for them, I put some water on them, and I leave the rest to Jan, and she does a great job. But even I know that if we don't have changes in seasons, our plants aren't going to make it. There has to be seasonal change in order for plants to grow. The same is true of our lives. We have to go through various seasons in order to mature and grow. So what I want to do this morning at the beginning of the series is give you five general facts about the seasons of life. And we're going to look at how to make the most of the seasons of life, regardless of which one we're in. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to look at individual seasons that we all go through in life. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, we have life as a gift from you. And we go through all sorts of life experiences. And often when we look back, we can truly see that there were seasons, there were times, there were purposes in our life, and that's not the same all through our life. So Lord, help us just as we think about the differences, some of the different seasons of life, just to help us to be more aware of your presence in different times and seasons of our life, so that we can give thanks truly for the life that you give us each day, no matter what some of the circumstances are around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here are five facts about the seasons of life. The first one is that they are beyond our control. We can't control when they happen. We can't control how long they happen for. We can't control their location. Most seasons begin with an irritation or an interruption or an inconvenience. When we enter a new season, our neat little schedule, it gets thrown out the door. And all of a sudden, because of something that just happens in our lives, all our plans evaporate and we have to completely redirect things. Grief is a season of life. We'll go through that many times. There'll be times when we have an illness which we can't control. There'll be times in life, if we're a parent, our kids are eventually going to grow up and maybe move out, we hope, and marry maybe. Every one of us, we're going to lose loved ones in our lifetimes. We can't control that. It's frustrating that we can't predict what the seasons of life will be and when they're going to happen or which one is going to happen next. So the seasons are uncontrollable in our lives. No matter what we'd like to do about it or how we want to worry about it, it's not going to change. I don't know if you've noticed, but some seasons they seem to speed by and other seasons seem to drag on. I remember that my Bachelor of Commerce degree, it seemed to drag on forever. I didn't think it would ever finish. My Bachelor of Theology degree seemed to be over in the blink of an eye. Some things happen fast, some things happen slowly. We can't control the duration of the seasons that we're in. So who does determine the seasons? Daniel says, God controls the time and seasons. He makes and unmakes kings. God is ultimately in control, even of world events. May not look like it to us, but God is. I find it hard, but I probably shouldn't worry so much about what's going on in the world. It's moving towards a destiny that God has purposed. Who's in government at any particular time, in the long scheme of things, is not going to affect at all what God has purposed for the world. We can also say about the seasons of life that they are often confusing. Sometimes we're in situations and we think, why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. And our understanding usually follows an experience rather than precedes it. Looking ahead, we don't know what's going to happen. Looking back, we know everything that's happened, and it gives us a perspective to see the seasons that we've been through. So seasons can be confusing in our lives, and there are some things that are going to happen throughout our lives that we will probably never understand. And God doesn't owe us an explanation. And we're maybe not going to get an explanation, at least this side of heaven, because God wants to teach us to live by faith and not by explanations. Notice Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God does everything just right on time, but people can never completely understand what God is doing. If we could understand why God does everything that he does, we'd be God, and we're not. Our brain capacity isn't big enough to understand why God does all the things that he does. The third thing we can say is that God has a purpose for each season. The lonely seasons, the sad seasons, the seasons of success, the seasons of waiting, the seasons of grief. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. This isn't a promise that's for everybody. All things do not work together for good for everybody in the world. They only work together for good for those who love God and are fitting into his purposes. In other words, we're trusting him with what we're doing. Our life isn't a random series of freak accidents and occurrences and circumstances that just happen. It's not by accident. God never does anything by accident. He has an appointed time for everything in our life, even the difficult times. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. God doesn't have a plan. God doesn't have to plan all the problems in our lives. He doesn't need to. I can come up with plenty of them all by myself. They often happen because of bad decisions we make. And they happen because of bad decisions other people make, and we're an innocent victim. God doesn't have to plan bad, but God's not the author of evil. He does have a purpose that he can draw good out of each and every event in our lives. That means every single event, no matter how dark, no matter how shameful, no matter how bad, how guilty, how bitter I feel about it, God can bring good out of it. God can work for good. Doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. For those who give God all the pieces and say, God, will you work good out of this? God has an appointed time for everything. Next thing we can say is that the seasons include both good and bad times. Life is full of contrasts. We go through mountains and we go through valleys. We go through successes. We go through failures. We have wins and we have losses in our lives. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 2 to 8, there are 28 different life experiences. And that's not an exhaustive list. It's just a representation. In weather, we only have four seasons, but in our lives, we have many different seasons. So Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to find, a time to lose. That's one of the most difficult experiences in life. Have you ever had a problem trying to figure out, should I hold on or should I let go? Do I hold on to this dream and it doesn't seem to be happening? Or do I let it go because maybe it isn't what I'm supposed to be doing anyway? Do I hold on to this relationship or do I let go of it? Rescue teams have to face this dilemma all the time. Do we keep on searching or do we give up the search? This is a difficult time, and the Bible says there's a time for both of them. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I think that's a good verse for my garage. I've discovered there are two kinds of people. There are hoarders, those who hold on to everything, and there are pitchers, those who like to throw stuff away. And pitchers always marry hoarders. Always. And it creates enormous sparks of creativity. I'm not sure what some people are laughing at. A time to hug. Time not to hug. In the Hebrew, that means there's a time for sexual intimacy and a time not for that intimacy. A time to speak up, a time to be quiet. Often we get those two things mixed up. We need the courage to speak up when we should and the love to be silent when we need to be silent. Life's a combination of contrasting seasons. All sunshine and no rain makes a desert. If we're following God's purpose, if we're really trying to live our lives according to how God wants us to live, each of these experiences will have some meaning and purpose in our lives. And they're all God's purpose for us. Some of us think that the only time we're in God's will is when we're in church or when we're having a quiet time. But we can be in God's purpose cleaning out the laundry basket, and we can be in God's purpose mowing the lawn, or we can be in God's purpose moving to a new location or not moving to a new location. There's a time and a season for everything. Some of you won't remember, but there was a song by a guy called Ray Stevens, and he used to sing, "Everything is beautiful in its own way." He lied. It's not true. Everything isn't beautiful. Cancer isn't beautiful. Child abuse isn't beautiful. War isn't beautiful. Everything isn't beautiful in its own way. He misquoted Ecclesiastes 3:11, which says, God makes everything beautiful in its own time. That's a very different thing. God can take even the bad things and in the proper season turn them around and use them for good the way he intends. So some of us right now, we're going through a season that isn't beautiful. It's ugly. Could be our finances. Our health looks ugly. Our relationship, a marriage, friendship looks ugly. Our future looks ugly. But God can make something good out of it if we will give him the pieces. The fifth thing that we can say about the seasons of life is what we sow in one season, we reap in another. Farmers know that. We plant in the spring, we harvest in the autumn. We don't plant in the spring and harvest the next day. There's an old saying along the lines of, the bad habits we develop at home and at school, we're going to carry on into our marriage and our career. The way we respond right now is going to affect our future. If we respond correctly in a season of life, and if we do the right thing, even when we don't feel like it, it pays dividends in our future. So Galatians says, let us not weary in well-doing, doing well, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. In other words, if we don't give up. So, how can I make the most of each season in my life? How can I grow from it? How can I develop in it? How can I become all God wants me to be? So, regardless of which season we're in, there are four questions that we can ask ourselves. One, I think, is what can we do in the season of life? There are some things we can only learn through experience. We learn them in what's called the school of hard knocks. Deuteronomy says, remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. To understand the seasons of life we're going to go into, we've got to get one basic truth under our belt. Life is a preparation for eternity. This isn't the big show. We're in the warm-up act of life right now. We're going to live like we do now on earth, and then we're going to spend the rest of our living in eternity, whatever that looks like to God, far more of our life on that side of death than we will be on this side of death. This is a warm-up act. And God wants us to learn a whole bunch of things before we get there. And one of them is that Jesus died for us and rose for us, and He wants a relationship with us. And after we have that relationship, He wants us to learn certain character qualities which we will take with us into eternity. And that's all we're going to take. We're not going to take anything else with us when we die, but our character. So in all these seasons, there are important lessons to learn. So what does God want to teach me here? When we're going through a season of life, we don't say, why is this happening? But Lord, what do you want me to learn? I think I've learned two things about the school of experiences in life. God provides opportunities for me to learn. That's one of them. Am I learning to be patient? No. Then God will put a lot of irritations around me until I learn to be patient. And just about the time I think I've graduated, I learn that there are more classes to take. We're never going to stop learning as long as we're here on earth. There'll always be more lessons to learn about God and about ourselves and about other people and about the world and about evil. God wants us to grow up. It said, remember what you've learned. If we forget the past, we tend to repeat the mistakes of the past. The Israelites, they kept forgetting the lessons they'd learned, so God said, well, one more lap around the desert. And they did it for 40 years. So what does God want me to learn? There's one overarching lesson He wants every one of us to learn, I think. It's in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. This happened so we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in God. See, God will bring all kinds of experiences in our lives to teach us to trust not in ourselves, but to trust God. There will be times in our lives when God is all we've got left, and everything else seems to have been taken from us. And then we learn God is all we need. The next two points go together. What can we enjoy? And what's most important in this season? Some people, I think, are always getting ready to be happy. They think, when the job picks up, when the business slows down, when I finish this report, when I'm out of school, when I'm feeling better, that's when I'll be able to be happy. But the Bible says we're not to wait to enjoy life. We're supposed to enjoy it right now. So Ecclesiastes 11 verse 8 says, people ought to enjoy every day of their lives. We ought to be enjoying today. We ought to enjoy every single day, the good ones, the bad ones. Each of them is a gift from God. Each day and each season is a gift from God. 1 Thessalonians says, give thanks in all circumstances. That is God's will for you. We're to live the good and the bad days, the hard days, the easy days, with a sense of gratitude because each one is given us by God. One of the most pivotal concepts I think I'm trying to learn in life is time is life. And life is short. James 4:14 says, how do you know what will happen tomorrow? What, after all, is your life? It's like a puff of smoke, visible for a little while and then disappearing into thin air. The Bible compares our lives to a puff of smoke. How long does a little puff of smoke hang in the air? Our lives are just like a little puff of smoke. They're here for a moment and then they're gone. And one of the fallacies we operate under is, I've got lots of time. I miss my child's soccer game. That's okay. I've got plenty of time to go to another soccer game. I've got lots of time to build my marriage. I've got lots of time to work on spending time with my husband or wife. I've got years to work on making my life count. And folks, that's a fallacy. The sooner we learn what really counts in life, then the sooner we'll get on to what's really important and we'll get on to enjoying it and making the most out of that particular season. Another fallacy that most of us operate under is I can have it all. Right now. All the time. I can have it all, I can be it all, I can do it all right now. I can have a great family, a great job, a lot of money, good health. I can look good, I can know God well, I can do it all right now. And the truth is, we can't. There have to be choices. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there's a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven. And if that's true, that refutes the idea that we can have it all and at one time. We can't have it all. We have to make some tough choices and some tough decisions about what really matters at this particular time in life. Ephesians 5 says, live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best of your time despite all the difficulties of these days. So you can build a great career. You can build a fabulous ministry. You can build a huge church. But if you lose your kids, you've lost it all. So when we look at our lives, we need to not only know what's most important, we also need to decide to start enjoying the seasons and the moments of our life. And most of us are not that good at enjoying the moment. We talk about stop and smell the roses, but we don't do that. It's just something we talk about. But the Bible says that we're to enjoy the seasons and the moments of our life because it's unique. See, what we tend to do is we tend to look back at the past and think one of two things. It was so great back then, I wish that that part of my life was still present. I wish that those things were still going on in my life. Or we have a lot of regret because we know we made a lot of mistakes and we spend too much time worrying about the past. Or we're looking at the future, thinking what's going to happen when this happens. What will happen to my child? What happens when I retire? What happens when my kids go off to uni and I'm alone? And we worry, ignoring the fact that it's this moment that I'm to live in. Not what was or what might be, but what is right now. The Bible says, enjoy every day of your life. Of course there's good and bad in every season. There are things that are really a drag, limitations in every season. There are things in every season that are great and wonderful. There's a time and a season for parenting. But with babies, you know, you have to carry all that paraphernalia with you wherever you go. And you have to get a bigger car to carry all the paraphernalia that goes along with having babies. That's a need. I don't know what the positive of having babies is. They smell so sweet. They're nice to cuddle. And when you have toddlers, you know, you're always fishing the cat or the newspaper or the toilet paper out of the toilet itself. That's what toddlers do. That's a negative. Always having to watch them. But the positive is that they crawl up onto your lap and they put on those little faces next to you and they go, Mummy, why did dog bark? And Daddy, what is green? And who made God? And you read a story for the 300th time as you're watching this little person develop. And school, they lied to us, you know? They told us we'd have all this freedom when our kids went off to school. When kids get to primary school, they come into you at 8 o'clock in the morning and they're leaving at 10 past 8 and they say, is my bag packed? It's not freedom. Don't hold out for it. It's not freedom. And when they're at high school, well, that's a roller coaster ride. Mad, mad roller coaster ride. Emotions up, emotions down, highs, lows, and you're going nuts trying to hang on to them. And the point is this, Philippians 4:11 says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. This is the moment I'm living in. As a parent, this is the season I'm in. There are limitations, yes, no matter what season you're in. It's not just parenting, it's whatever season. There are things you can't do in the season of life you're in. They're gone. But there are opportunities and there are joys that are there. that are not present in other seasons. If we're a wise person, we'll begin to enjoy the moment. A writer called Charles Swindoll uses the illustration of the old nursery rhyme. It goes, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to visit. Pussycat, what did you there? I chased a little mouse under her chair. He says, stupid cat. He could have seen Big Ben, could have been to Windsor Castle, on the Thames River, eaten scones and tea, but you chased a mouse? You could have done that at home. We live in this moment. We live in the season we're in, where God has put us. Enjoy the moment of this season. To make the most of them, we've got to ask, what can I learn? What can I enjoy? What's most important? The last thing I think is we can ask, how can I help others in this season of life? What good can I do during this season? See, the Bible says very clearly that we weren't put on this earth just to live for ourselves. Ephesians 2:10 says, you were created for a life of good works. God gave us abilities and talents and energy to help other people. He didn't put us on earth just to be selfish. He wants us to help others. And a lot of us plan on doing that when things settle down. I'm going to get into ministry when things settle down. I'm going to get involved in my church when things settle down. I'm going to start helping in a charity. I'm going to help other people when things settle down. Folks, be realistic. Things are not going to settle down. Never. There will always be something to fill our schedule. So are we doing what we were made to do? Or are we spending all our time and all our energy and all our efforts on ourselves? Proverbs 3:27 says, whenever you're able, do good to people who need help. Whenever you're able. In other words, do what you can while you can and stop waiting for perfect circumstances. We say, one of these days, I'm going to buy my wife some roses. One of these days, I'm going to write that note of thanks to that person who helped me out. One of these days, I'm going to make that phone call. Folks, when I die, don't send any flowers to my funeral. I won't appreciate them. Send them now. Better still, send rum and raisin chocolate. Do good when you can. Most people are miserable in life for two reasons. They spend all their time regretting their past and all their time worrying about the future. So they spend the present procrastinating and they never get anything done. One secret of happiness is service, giving your life away in serving God and others, because you were wired by God to do that. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. God wants to use the season we're in right now to help other people. So what is it that you know would be a good thing to do, or it's the right thing to do, it would help you grow and it would help other people, but you keep putting it off, you keep procrastinating? So friends, do something good this week for somebody else. And maybe they won't even know about it. Maybe you just do it in secret. If you've never committed to being part of the church, get involved, grow in your faith, discover your ministry, do those things and watch what God does in the seasons of your life. Let's pray. Jesus, I do want to grow in you. I do want to grow spiritually. Would you please use the seasons of my life? Would you teach me to learn to trust you in every season, even in the difficult ones? Jesus, I invite you to be at the center of every season of my life so you can build in me the character that I will take with me into eternity. In your name I pray. Amen.